book of Beginnings. Amen. Anybody ever read out of the book of Genesis? All right. If this worldly crowd would understand that God started everything, there'd be changes in society. Chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1. Of course, you understand. Verse 1, he said, in the beginning, God created. Amen. God created. And verse 26, where I want to start this morning, and I probably won't preach very long today. And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. To every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to go back to that verse 26 and just take a thought out of that verse where God said, let us make man. I want to talk to you just for a little while this morning on the making of a man. The making of a man. Probably, if you pay attention this morning, when I use the term man, I'm not just talking about the gender of man or a male, but mankind. And when you read these verses, starting at verse 26, amen, God is doing the same thing. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them. So he's speaking of both Adam and Eve, that they would have dominion. So trust that the Lord will help us this morning. I want to talk to you from a thought. While I was in Georgia this week, I read these verses, and it just seemed like it just jumped out to me. And man is God's final creation. He is the utopia or the climax of all God's creation. He is the headstone. He is the prize that God made over all the creatures of the earth, and even the earth itself. Man is more important to God than anything else. It cost heaven its most prized jewel to redeem man. Amen. So man is vitally important to God. And I want us to start with the premise this morning that God has created man for one purpose and one reason, and that is that he might be glorified in the life of a man. Amen. That is the express purpose that God made man, that he himself may be glorified through his own creation. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us that God said, let us, plural. You know, there's this Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us, plural. Amen. Make man in our, what? Image. Amen. If you do any searching at all, it will tell us, even in the original Hebrew, that this word image means physical, bodily form. Do you know God has ears? God has eyes. God has a nose. God has a mouth. God has arms. Come on here. God has legs. God has feet. Man is made in the image, physical image of God. Amen. God has fingers. The Bible speaks to us many times about the finger of God. So man physically was made in the image of God. Amen. Physical image of God. I think that's important because, amen, he follows that with another thought. Amen. Not only are we created in the physical, natural image of God, but we are created in his likeness. Amen. There's a difference between likeness and image. Image deals with the physical and the natural. Likeness deals with the spiritual. Amen. And God created man. Amen. Let us make man. Amen. In our image and our likeness. If the Lord had helped me this morning, I want to talk to you about man's responsibilities toward God. Amen. It was man's responsibility to keep the garden. If Adam had fulfilled his responsibility of keeping the garden, amen, there would have been no fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam failed in his responsibility, amen, not only to guard the garden and keep things from outside coming in, but to keep peace inside the garden. Adam, the Bible even speaks to us that Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam partook of the fruit with his eyes wide open, knowing what he was doing. It was Adam's responsibility, and God put the curse upon Adam because he did not fulfill his spiritual responsibilities. Come on here. Amen. And God said to Adam, amen, by the sweat of your brow, amen, you're going to till the ground. Now, in the beginning, the Bible tells us that God planted a garden in the east of Eden. God planted the garden. Amen. And there would have never been any weeds. You get this. There would have never been any thorns and thistles. There would have never been anything, amen, in that garden that would have caused you to sweat and toil and labor if Adam had fulfilled his spiritual responsibilities. Amen. Because that he did not fulfill his spiritual responsibilities, all creation fell with him. And as a result, amen, those beings would have come on the vine automatically without any labor on Adam's part. Amen. The corn would have matured, amen, in the ear. Amen. Without any help from Adam, without any labor from Adam, if he had fulfilled his spiritual responsibilities. And as a result of his spiritual failings, amen, he paid the consequences and the price for his actions or lack of actions. Amen. So that's the premise of what I want to talk to you about this morning. God has placed upon us a responsibility. Amen. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Amen. That's part of man's responsibility. Amen. Folks these days want a handout and everybody give them something because they feel like it's owed to them. But amen, the Bible said if a man don't work, he ought not to eat. Amen. So we have that physical, natural responsibility to work. Amen. Because that's the way, amen, the consequences of what Adam did, amen, fell upon all creation. And now you have to labor and sweat and perspire, amen, and get tired and weary because of Adam's lack of responsibility. Amen. Do you believe that? Say amen. Now, if that being true, amen, concerning Adam, it is also true concerning us. Amen. If we fail in our spiritual responsibilities now, we will pay the consequences. There is always a consequences to pay from a lack of fulfilling your responsibility. If you, brethren, if you're the head of your house, amen, and you don't bring in the money to pay the rent, are y'all still here? Or the electric bill, or the put the food on the table, amen, then the sad story is that somebody else has to pick up the ends of the loose ends and tie things together and keep soul and body together. But are y'all still with me? Amen. So man has a responsibility in the natural. And I say man, I mean, amen, mankind. Whether it be the gender man or the gender female. Amen. The woman, the responsibility is the same. Somebody said, well, the wife doesn't work. Oh, you foolish thing. Amen. She probably works as much or harder than you do. Cleaning the house, washing clothes. I was waiting for the women to say amen there. Amen. Cooking. Every human being has some responsibility to do something in life. And whenever they fail in their responsibility, then something is going to be left undone, and there's going to be a consequences, amen, to make. If y'all stay with me here this morning. If that wife does not fulfill her responsibility of cooking and cleaning the house, amen, are you listening to me? And washing dirty clothes, amen, that house is going to be, amen, an infested nest, amen, what they call them, little black bugs running around, roaches and water bugs, amen, and rats, amen, infested germs of every description, because somebody, that's the consequences of somebody not fulfilling their responsibilities. Hallelujah. Get that in there. Praise God. And when the family sometime, and I'm not against, hear me here, get this straight. I'm not against the federal agencies helping people that's really in need. I'm not against that. But when there is a well body, a man or a woman that has full physical amen, mentalities and physical strength, they ought to work. Hallelujah. And when there is no working, then somebody else has got to fulfill that responsibility. Amen. Am I doing all right so far? Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, there is more to life than just natural, physical, materially responsibilities. There are spiritual responsibilities. And when the spiritual responsibilities, amen, is not fulfilled, then there is a consequences to pay for that as well. Amen. That leadership. Now I want to tell you, amen, Adam did not fulfill his spiritual side of his responsibilities. Amen. I don't know why. Amen. The Bible gives us no insight as to why he did not. But it was his responsibility to keep, amen, the garden. That's what the Bible said. Amen. It was his responsibility. That means to guard, to be aware. Amen. To keep the enemy out. Come on here. Amen. To be sure that it's kept right. Amen. That no outside influence was to come into that garden. That was his responsibility. Amen. As the head of the woman that God made him. Help me. I want to talk to you all this morning. Amen. About the making of man. Praise God. And when he failed in that responsibility, then the consequences was, amen, that his wife was deceived. Amen. His family suffered. Amen. And when Cain and Abel came along, the consequences of him not keeping his spiritual life up to par, amen, paid off dividends, amen, in his children. Amen. In their lack, come on here, a spiritual understanding. It in reading about Adam in the book of Genesis, I come to realize that somewhere after they got out of the garden and were not ever allowed to go back into that garden, amen, where God made everything perfect. Amen. Amen. Sometime another. Amen. Now, as best as I can understand, Cain, amen, was the eldest, amen, in this Adam's family. Amen. Cain was the older brother. And then came along this Abel. Cain and Abel. And we know the story. I don't have to go into great detail. But somewhere, amen, in the waking up of the morning, amen, Adam failed in his spiritual responsibility to teach Cain about spiritual things. Amen. And as a result, amen, Cain had no spiritual insight about anything. Amen. When Abel come along, amen, evidently, God help me here, evidently Adam realized the consequences of what, amen, the lacking of his spirituality, and caused him to wake up one day and said, I have missed God. I have failed in my responsibility. And he did teach Abel, amen, to offer sacrifice unto the Lord as God had required. Come on, y'all stay with me. Amen. Somewhere in the process of time, he woke up and realized, amen, I have failed in my responsibility. I have failed in my spiritual walk with God. I have failed. I have only took care of the natural. I have only provided materially. I have only done that which contains for the natural man. I have only dealt with carnal things. Amen. And I have failed. And as a result, Cain is the product, amen, of my lack of spirituality. Help me here. And perhaps he tried to make amends for his failures, amen, by teaching Abel, amen, about spiritual things. Oh God, I I see in our generation that we have mankind, amen, that is taking care of the natural, taking care of the carnal, taking care of the material. Amen. But we as a generation is lacking in our spiritual responsibility. Now God, come on here. God made man. God knew how to make man. God knew what it would take to make man, amen, successful. God understood the responsibilities that he was giving to man. You are created in my image. You look like me. Amen. You have the appearance of me. But there's got to be more than just appearance. There's got to be something inside of you that gives you a desire for God. Amen. So I'm going to create you in my likeness. Amen. And without that likeness, you are coming short of what God wants you to be. Am I doing all right so far? Amen. The making of man is not just a single issue. It is a dual responsibility. Amen. Your family, help me here. Your family will never be what they ought to be and need to be until you, amen, mamas and daddies, fulfill your spiritual responsibility. You can give them a Cadillac to drive. Amen. Come on. Y'all stay with me. You can give them steak, amen, and fried chicken and beans and taters on the table. You can put the finest of designer clothes on their bodies. You can have them, amen, a wonderful house to live in. Amen, but you're only providing one side of your responsibility. Your responsibility is to lead that family in prayer. Your responsibility is to teach them the principles of God's Word. Your responsibility is to be spiritual minded. To be, amen, carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life everlasting. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. And I, along with most others, amen, in retrospect, can look back upon my life, and you can too, and see areas that I should have done better. I could have done better. I wished I had done better. Amen. And I failed in my spiritual leadership. Amen. In the home. Help me here. And you too, my friend. Amen. Have the same responsibility. But Brother Savage, you are the preacher. I want to tell you, God requires no more out of me than he does you. Amen. You are the high priest of your home. Amen, sir. Get a hold of the fact that you have a responsibility before God. Amen. And if you don't fulfill the spiritual responsibility, all the natural, physical, amen, material substance that you have provided will be worthless when we get ready to leave this world. Woo! Am I doing all right here this morning? God put this on my heart while I was in South Georgia. Amen. I'd like to preach something to make you happy and shout. But I want to tell you, I sense that there is a lack of fulfilling our spiritual responsibilities in our homes and in our churches. Sir, amen, listen to me. I'm talking to you men right now. You are going to answer to God Almighty when you stand before Him. Amen, for your lack of spiritual leadership in your home. Amen. Somebody say amen. You can give them everything they want and need, and you can put money in their pockets. Amen. Amen. That they can go and do anything and buy anything they want. But if you have not provided the spiritual leadership, amen, that you are required by Almighty God to do, amen, you're going to pay the consequences in this life, amen, and in eternity as well. And you will have to answer to God. God knew what it would take for man to be successful. And man, in our time, man is only halfway successful. Hear me? Only halfway successful. Amen. We can be, help me here. I'm trying to preach to y'all here this morning. We can succeed in life educationally until we are, our brains is sharp and we've got all the equations and the formulas of algebra and geometry, amen, and trigonometry, and we can know how to swing, how far it is from Mars to Jupiter, and we can determine how far it is, amen, from the sun to, amen, the Big Dipper, amen. We can understand the vocabulary of the human language. Amen. We can know English. Amen. And how every part of the English language ought to be and how it ought to function and what it does. Amen. We can know of verbs and nouns and pronouns and prepositional phrases. Amen. We can diagram a sentence. Amen. Until it would take up a whole page for one sentence. Amen. But if we don't have any spiritual insight about God and the leadership in our homes, amen. You can know how to cook biscuits, amen, and tell you our teeth will slap your brains out. Amen. You can know how to put prayer preserves on the table, and you can know how to fix that steak, amen, until it melts in your mouth. But if you don't fulfill the spiritual responsibilities that God has given to the human race, we have failed in our responsibilities, and we're going to suffer the consequences in this life. Amen. Adam and Eve, amen, they both, come on, y'all stay with me. They both have the command of God to replenish the earth. Amen. Y'all stay with me. Amen. They were both created in the image of God. They were both, I got no notes here this morning, so y'all getting it fresh. Amen. They were both created in the image of God and in His likeness. They both had dominion over everything. Earth. Amen. The fish of the sea and the fowls of the air and the beast of the field. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Adam named every one of them. Amen. And most commentators that I've read said that Adam, amen, had the ability to communicate to every one of those created beings because God gave him dominion over them. I lost some of y'all right there. Ah, but you must understand that God created man, amen, and then he blessed them, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. Amen. Man, you're a smart fella. Amen. You have great capabilities. You have fabulous ingenuity. Amen. You know how to do things. But I want to tell you, if you don't have that spiritual insight and the will and the desire down inside that you want to please God more than you want to please yourself. You want to please God more than you want to please your family. You want to please God, amen, more than you want to please anybody or anything else in life. You want to please God more than you want to please the desires of the flesh. You want to please God, amen, and to the extent that you get on your prayer bones and you seek the face of God. Lord, I don't know how to help my family, but would you help me? Amen. Give me the spiritual insight to know how to lead them. Am I doing all right? We can teach our children how to make beds. Amen. And make biscuits. Amen. We can teach our children how to mow the grass. We teach our children how to, amen, weed eat. Y'all stay with me. We can teach our children, amen, how to wash clothes. We can teach our children how to keep house. We can teach our children how to hunt. Amen. And all of these things we ought to do. We can teach our children how to swim. We can teach our, am I doing all right here? Amen. We can teach our children, amen, how they ought to do in the natural, how to behave themselves. Amen. What not to say, what to say. We can teach our children to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir. We can teach our children to be polite and courteous. Amen. And that's all well and good and ought to be. But if we are not the spiritual, amen, man or woman, that we ought to lead them in prayer. We ought to lead them in Bible reading. We ought to lead them in the house of God. And I am, great God, help me here. I'm not surprised that some of our children, amen, have no desire to go to church and have no desire to go to the altar, because, amen, our parents only come when it's convenient and when it's only, amen, an option to them. They don't feel like they have to come. They don't feel like they need to come. Amen. If they've got something else to do, fine. If they go to church, fine. If they don't, it's still all right. Amen. But I want to tell you, we're going to pay the consequences of our lack of a spiritual leadership. God knew man. God knew the tendencies of man. God knew the carnal side of man. And he said, I'm going to make you in my likeness. Amen. Because you've got to have the spiritual desire inside of you. I know I'm way out in far right field. God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Amen. The second blessing was upon man and woman together, not just on the man alone or upon other creatures, but God's blessing was upon man and woman. Now, I want to talk to you about the home this morning. We have a crisis in our American society. Some time ago, amen, I preached to you about the decline of the family. Not too long, a few months ago, about the decline of the family. We are in a crisis in our American culture because the family is going down the tubes. Somebody say amen. Amen. Where there ought to be love and unity in the home that God made. Amen. There's contention and fussing and fighting and arguing. Amen. I want to tell you, that is not spiritual leadership. Amen. And your children will see the hypocrisy. Amen. Of your life, when you go to church and you sing and you clap your hands, and when you get out of the house of God, amen, you're tearing into each other like tigers. Amen. And your children see the hypocrisy in your soul, and they say, no need for me to go to church. And woo, I can't hardly believe I'm preaching like this morning. But here we are. We are in a crisis mode in our American culture. Amen. And if we don't get the help of God and get our spiritual side, amen, of our lives straightened out and realize that there are some things that are more important than life. There are some things that are, amen, that we must put on the priority list of our, amen, everyday living. Going to church ought to be on the top round. Amen. Praying at the altar ought to be on the top round. Reading your Bible every day ought to be on the top round. Amen. Pleasing God, amen, ought to be on your top round. How is God going to look at what I'm doing today? Or how I'm talking? Or how I'm acting? That ought to be the most important thing. Somebody say amen. I don't know how many times through the years that I've talked with people and tried to counsel and pray with, amen, precious families and try to get them, amen, to realize their spiritual needs. Sometimes I've had success at it and sometimes I haven't. Amen. God will not force anything on you that you do not want. You don't have to pray. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have, come on here. You don't have to be the spiritual, amen, emphasis in your home. But you'll pay the consequences. Some time ago, I was talking to, amen, some folks about, you know, they're having troubles, problems. And I said, well, amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. One of them said, and I don't remember which one it was, said, I just don't love them anymore. Amen. Then I said, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Oh, yes. I'm going to heaven. I mean, come on here. I lost some of y'all right there. I'm going to go to heaven. I said, well, now let's look at it. Amen. If you cannot help me here. If you cannot love them either as your husband or your wife in that relationship that God made in man, I said, if you can't love them in that respect, then you must start building your relationship somewhere if you expect to go to heaven when you die. Somebody say amen. When I just don't love them anymore, then I said, you must start loving them as your neighbor. If you can't love them as your husband or your wife, then you must start on a relationship somewhere. You must start, amen, to build that relationship. If you intend to go to heaven when you die, then if you can't love them as your husband or wife, am I doing all right this morning? Amen. Then you must start on that building somewhere. Amen. I said, God, amen, in His Word said where there is contention between the husband and wife, their prayers are hindered. The Apostle Peter tells us that in his epistles. Amen. Then I said, then you must start somewhere in your building your relationship as God intended for it to be on a spiritual side. You, amen, come on here. I'm going to preach to y'all this morning. Praise God. I said, if you cannot love them as your husband or your wife, then you must love them, amen, as your neighbor. Amen. And the Bible said, love your neighbor as yourself. God help me. I'm in real trouble this morning. Amen. I said, you've got to start somewhere. Amen. And I forget which one it was said, but I don't know whether I can even love them like that or not. Then I said, then you must come down to the lowest level of the rung on the ladder. If you intend to go to heaven, the Bible says, love your enemies. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm talking about the making of man. Hallelujah. That spiritual side of you has got to be healthy. If that spiritual side of you starves to death, it don't matter if you've got $1 million in the bank and you've got everything in life you want. Amen. You will pay the consequences of spiritual bankruptcy. Amen. And you will suffer in the process of time. Somebody say amen. It may take a while. It may not happen in 1 year or 2 years, but you let 10 years pass by, and you let 20 years pass by, and the first thing you know, one day you wake up and say, why did this this happen to me? What's going on? Amen. Why don't my kids want to come home? Why don't my kids love me? Amen. Because they have seen the spiritual hypocrisy. Amen. You have provided for them in the natural, in the physical and material, but you gave them nothing spiritually to base their life on as far as principles are concerned. I'm talking to you this morning about God said, amen, he created you in his image and in his likeness. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. If you can't love them as your companion, sir, ma'am, then you must start a relationship somewhere. As a neighbor. Somebody said, I don't know if I can do that or not. Amen. Then I said, you must start loving them as your enemy. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you and persecute you for my name's sake. For great is your reward in heaven. Amen. And one of them said, I don't know whether I can even love them on that level or not. Then I said, you will die and go to hell because you cannot go to heaven with bitterness and hate and ill feelings in your heart toward anybody. Men, men, men. There is a natural side, but there is also a spiritual side. And we can have everything in life that we want and need in the natural. But if we do not have the spiritual relationship with God in our hearts, in his likeness, not only in his image, but in his likeness, that we want spiritual things. Ah, come on. Somebody say amen. I know I'm digging around some of y'all this morning. I mean, woo-wee. I almost got the dandruff up. Praise God. Hey, man, I can almost see the hackles rising on your back. Ooh, preacher. But I want to tell you, hey, man, heaven is a holy place. Amen. And nothing, are y'all still here? Nothing worldly and sinful is going there. And if we don't provide the spiritual emphasis and the spiritual leadership for the home that God made us to have, amen, we can have everything in life. Thank God for this wonderful building. I'm grateful for this church building. Are y'all still with me? I'm thankful for the electric lights. I am really thankful for the air conditioning. Praise God. I'm thankful for the heat in the wintertime. I'm grateful for these stained glass windows. I'm grateful for the wonderful pews. Amen. That God has helped us to provide for. I'm thankful for this beautiful carpet. Amen. That you don't find any prettier anywhere in any church. But if this building is all we've got to offer this generation, shut the door and lock it and go home. We've got to have a spiritual emphasis that when we come to the house of God, we are ready to worship. When we come to God's house, there's nothing between us and him. When we come to the house of God, we're sanctified. When we come to the house of God, we have one desire in mind, and that is to please him that has called us to be a good soldier. And if we have everything else and don't have that, we are a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. God blessed them. Why did God bless them? Because they had both sides of their creation in order. Their natural side and their spiritual side. And when the natural side
is, are y'all still with me? The natural side is in subjection to the spiritual side. God will bless it. God will bless you. If you think for one minute, boy, am I preaching all right this morning? If you think for one minute that you're going to go to heaven, amen, when you've got bitterness and hate and hard feelings, not only toward your spouse, but toward anybody, you're going to have a rude awakening when you stand before God. What are you going to do when the trumpet sounds and you're in the middle of one of your fits? Man. The making of man. God knew when he made man what it was going to take for him to stay in the garden and be blessed. So he created the natural side and he created the spiritual side. And when the spiritual side went bankrupt, the natural side suffered the consequences. Man. God, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your precious word. I pray. Lord God, I pray. This morning, your presence will come into this sanctuary. Oh, God. Oh, God. You know my heart. It is not my desire to rail upon people, but only to awaken them of their spiritual needs that we must come to grips that our lives are lacking on the spiritual side. For Jesus' sake, I pray that your word will become life to us, salvation to us, a restoration to us. And oh God, that we may come to the place where we are willing to crucify self and the natural, that the spiritual may lead and the spiritual may live. For Christ's sake, I pray. Everybody stand. Amen. I'd like to be a better Christian. How about you? Matter of fact, I'd like to be a better husband. How about you, men? I'd like to be a better pastor and a better preacher. But I do know this. I can give the natural side all the attention, and my spiritual man will suffer. And when my spiritual man goes bankrupt, the natural man's going to suffer. Lord God, does anybody here want to pray this morning? Man, man, man.